Talking Sports moved to Wednesday afternoon from 2 to 4 and joining forces with Knockout Radio to become one. We will continue to talk all sports with a heavy dose of MMA and bare knuckle boxing. The longest running MMA radio show and the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay come together every Wednesday from 2 to 4. If you can walk the walk, then listen to us talk the talk. Sponsored by 8 Man Strong and Stafsa.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Come on in, sit right down. Keep your hands up and keep your chin down. Shut the door. Time to go with Randy Harrison. Knockout Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, Knockout Radio with Randy Harris is about to start. So get ready for the best MMA talk, games, interviews, surprises, and surprises anywhere. For Knockout Radio, I'm the voice, Ray Flores. And now, here's Knockout Radio.
Hey-o. Hey, everybody.
What is going on, everybody? I am that guy.
You are that guy.
Well, no, I was just at Holy Hog. I'm playing with the numbers here.
Okay.
Catered our lunch for our first Wednesday night two-hour extravaganza.
Moving on up.
And one of the ladies there didn't see me and just said, yeah, this is for that guy.
That guy.
And then when she saw there was me, she goes, oh, hey. I'm like, no, I'm that guy. So I said I would start the show with, I'm that guy.
And that guy is Randy Harris, talking sports, migrating to Wednesdays, 2 to 4.
Not only migrating, but, you know, you see all the time these pictures, like if, Brad Pitt and I was going to say Angela Jolie, but
okay, Angela.
Those were the two that were together anyway,
they
right?
They were.
All right, so it would be like if Brad Pitt and give me a female. Just name a female.
Jennifer Aniston.
And that's the same too because they were together. It would be like if Brad Pitt and your wife had a baby,
okay,
and then they would show a picture, right,
sure,
of this baby.
Right.
So this is if Talking Sports and Knockout Radio had a baby.
Sure.
That's what this program is going to be.
Sounds awesome.
So we've moved Talking Sports from Friday to Wednesday. We've incorporated it into Knockout Radio, so we're going to still talk some other sports. We're going to talk some local sports. We'll talk some national sports, but with a main dose. The main thing we're going to talk about is mixed martial arts, combat sports, wrestling.
And you brought out some heavy hitters for today's show.
You know, I kind of overdid today.
You loaded it up.
Yeah. I don't know if it was because I didn't want to work.
We had to go big on your first day.
Let's run down the list.
Let's do it.
Okay. Momentarily, probably 8 minutes or so. And poor Chris Lytle. I've texted him for a week. All right, we need you at 8. We need you at 10. We need you at 4. Because we've kind of, this got thrown together kind
sure
of quickly. So, Chris Lytle, MMA legend.
You can call him an L. You can drop the L word on Chris
Lytle. I think so.
Because he went to the bare knuckle?
No.
You have more respect for him now?
No. It means nothing.
He was a legend before the bare knuckle.
I'm calling him a legend just because he was early. He was the early stage.
Sure.
He was those guys and all of those guys that kind of put MMA, the UFC, Bellator, because, you know, well, I train UFC.
Was he on your Mount Rushmore?
No.
Okay.
No. Mount Rushmore is four guys. Four people. Not even guys. Four people.
Four people.
And I think for the sake of it, it's funny because I was in the Buccaneer locker room the other day talking to Vinnie Curry, and who's a big wrestling, and, you know, we're talking about going to WrestleMania and all that stuff next year. And I said, who's your Mount Rushmore? And I think a Mount Rushmore of wrestling is impossible to make. It's impossible.
Well, I mean, obviously, it won't be the Four Horsemen.
Well, you can't use the whole four.
Well, you got four. That's already done.
No,
done.
You can't.
All right, see, I'm trying to just do things efficiently. And
no, you're just trying to do it easy. But that's not. See, you kind of blew it. If you would have said you put the original Four Horsemen, but you know how many people have been horsemen?
Yeah, but it's only the original.
Well, you didn't say that.
Yeah, it's just like the James Bond. You got to go with the original.
Yeah, that's Sean Connery. Yeah. I mean, really, it's not. Was Sean Connery first, or was Roger Moore first?
I think it was Roger Moore. Wasn't
see,
it?
I don't even know. I don't know.
Oh, I'm not that old.
I don't know. But, you know, I want to put in here, you know, we have a studio here. We are broadcasting live as we do each and every Wednesday, even though this is the inaugural. We need that sign, always be yourself unless you can be Batman.
Yeah, always be Batman.
Then always be Batman.
It's true.
That's my boy. I can't think of his name. Who?
Great friend.
No, I didn't say he was my friend.
It's not one of the Four Horsemen, this guy.
Who played Batman?
Which one?
No, in the movies. You know, he's not Adam West.
Yeah.
But he did, was it Night Shifts?
Was it Val Kilmer with one?
The, yeah, but that don't count. Yeah, he's not the one I'm talking about.
What's the guy?
I can't think of his name.
What's the guy that does the Boston thing, a really annoying guy? The boss, Ben Affleck?
No, not him.
Was
either.
He Batman?
Was he?
I think so.
I've only seen the Batman one time. So anyway, let's get back to the schedule. Coming up, well, now it'll be about 5 minutes. Chris Lytle, he fought a couple of weeks ago, bare knuckle fighting.
Was that in Mississippi?
That was in Biloxi.
Biloxi.
Right. Then at the bottom of the hour, Aljamain Sterling, who fights this weekend in Dallas. At top of the hour, the guy he's fighting, Cody Stammen, will be on. Then Maurice Greene. I sent it to you. Did you watch his knockout last week?
No.
Oh, my God.
Was it that good?
Oh, my God. And you know, I don't get excited. Brutal. A brutal knockout. First episode this season, whatever number, Ultimate Fighter. Heavyweights, females and heavyweights. So it's the two high weight classes in both. Then Tito. Had to have Tito. It's the inaugural Wednesday 2 hour, blah, blah, blah. But Tito Ortiz probably has been on our program, the programs, more than any other person. So we had to start with Tito. Tito's going to talk about his upcoming fight with Chuck Liddell, November 24th in L.A. I understand they've already started. Tebow has signed to be on that card, the Oscar De La Hoya Extravaganza. And then we're going to end the program with Eric Van Wagenen. He is the producer of the reality boxing show, The Contender.
Yeah, now that's exciting.
So, also Mark Burnett's right-hand guy, I understand.
This is an action-packed show.
I really don't think we need you or me today.
Yeah,
you know, we have enough.
Just turn it over to the board guy, and we're going home.
All right, one of the things we are going to do, we're going to do a Survivor football leg.
Okay.
And it's kind of funny, Survivor, because I think Eric has done some things with the TV show Survivor as well. So a Survivor League is, by the end of the show, you need to pick a team that is going to win on Sunday.
Okay.
And if they lose, then you're eliminated.
Okay.
We're going to open it up to the Twitter universe, to the Randy regime, to the Book of Face, to anybody. They have to have their picks in before.
It starts tomorrow, right?
Right.
NFL kicks off on Thursday night.
Unless we want to blow through Thursday and give everybody a couple days. I'll let you decide. So, like, I'm leaning towards, I think I'm going to take the Packers over the Bears.
Okay.
If the Packers win, I move on. But you cannot use the Packers again.
Okay.
They're done.
Okay.
If the Bears win, I'm eliminated. And then whoever's in, and then we're going to use some prizes. We'll do some autograph stuff. Ken Shamrock will sign some stuff because he's a big NFL guy. Chris Lytle's a big NFL guy. So,
I mean, I think that's what made this show so awesome to fuse them together into one is because you have a lot of crossover. You have a lot of ex-NFL guys going into these boxing fighting leagues. You know?
Lots of strong.
You have several. I mean, you have Sean Merriman. Who now is in the bare knuckle league.
Right.
You know, you've got Hardy coming from the Cowboys. I mean, you've got a lot of, there's been historically crossover athletes of all sport going over into mixed martial arts. Because Seiko went into the octagon or the ring. Or
well, he didn't. He never went in the octagon.
It was a squared circle.
Well, that's.
What do you want to call it?
I don't know what he did. And, you know, if we get Chris Lytle on, you know, we're going to talk to him as well as Tito. What are they going to use? Now, Lytle fought in a squared circle.
Which is the bare knuckle.
Right. Bare knuckle fighting championship.
Arena.
They fight in a squared circle. So it's a square, and then a circle's inside the square.
Right.
It's a squared circle.
It's like a sumo stance where they start 3 feet apart on two white stripes.
Well, and the take from that is, because you're always, when you're talking combat sports and toe the line.
Right.
So they literally have a line. And you toe the line, and then they're like, let's get at it.
Sure.
So we're going to get MMA bobblehead on.
Yes.
We'll get Dave on. We'll do some more bobbleheads to give away.
I'm still waiting for my figurine to be casted.
And it's not going to happen. so far, they have had Chuck Liddell, Dan Henderson. They just released Bruce Buffer. I know who the fourth one is.
Do you really?
I do.
Are you going to drop it now?
Absolutely not.
Can we guess?
Absolutely.
Can you do a Survivor Series?
You can guess all you want, but I'm not going to tell you if you're right or wrong.
Fair enough.
You know, that's he'll never tell me again, and I know the next couple. The next one's going to be good.
All right.
Now, they're all good. Even if you don't like the athlete, whether it's, and I don't know how anybody in your right mind can't like, well, Tito, can't like Chuck Liddell. We'll have Tito on who does not get along with Chuck. But even if you don't like Chuck, even if you don't like Dan Henderson or you don't like Bruce Buffer, these bobbleheads are absolutely unbelievable. You know whose bobblehead they do need to make? Our first guest on the moved over inaugural on Tan Talk, the whole kit and caboodle. Our first guest, there can only be one first, Chris Lytle. Chris, how are you?
I'm fantastic. What's happening? Thanks for letting me be the first guest. Fantastic.
You are the first guest of this new shenanigans that we're going to start. I apologize for changing the times, but we had to make you first. So congratulations on being number uno.
Yeah, it's a good thing, man. We'll always remember it.
Let's talk about 2 weeks ago now. It was going to be right after the fight, but it's taken 2 weeks for this to get put together. Was it everything that you expected when you went to Biloxi and fought bare knuckle?
You know, in many ways it was. A few ways it wasn't. My only problem with it was, you know, on the first card they put on, it seemed like everybody was out there just to, you know, let it all hang out and knock the other guy out. And I felt like this time it was a little bit more measured. People were trying to, you know, not get hurt. I don't know if they were trying not to get hurt or if they just wanted to kind of get their feet wet slowly. But my game plan was just coming there and wreak havoc as soon as I can. Just go out there and throw punches as hard as I can and either knock the guy out right away or break my hand. And either way, the problem solved right away. So that was my game plan, and it was fun. And when I did that, my fight, I felt like I had a great time, and it was everything I wanted from that fight.
So you wanted to get it over without breaking a sweat.
Well, that's always the goal, you know. I mean, if you go out there with that mentality, either you're going to come out there without breaking a sweat or, you know, you're going to put on one hell of a fight. And either way, I'm happy either way. You know, there is something to be said about having a quick fight that ends very quickly, but there's another thing I would think I even like better, some of those fights where you have to really test yourself and dig deep and, you know, come off the canvas and come back and get a win like that. Those are, you know, probably like spiritually better for me. I feel good about myself afterwards, but oh, my body's much happier when I can get over with quick.
Absolutely. So a veteran of combat sports, numerous fights in boxing, obviously mixed martial arts, now the bare knuckle. How different was it? How different was it walking from the back to, and ironically, we were just talking about it, to the squared circle, to toe the line? How different was it, if any difference at all?
You know, to be honest with you, I didn't feel that part was really much different. Like you said, I had, you know, several pro boxing matches and several MMA fights. I think anytime you're going to go out there, one-on-one combative sport, you know, that whole ritual and, you know, the mentality going into that cage, octagon, mat, whatever it is, it's very similar. So that felt like something I never lost, and I still have that, you know, in my repertoire in the back of my mind. It was just a matter of actually doing it.
We spoke to you before the fight. You said, let's get through this fight to decide and to determine what's next. Did you enjoy it? Did you not enjoy it? So did you enjoy it? And what's next? Will you do it again?
I absolutely enjoyed it, and I'll absolutely do it again. You know, just taking a lot of time off. And, you know, I last time I fought, I was about 37 in the main, and I come in, you know, I'm 44 now, so it's just, you never really know how the body's going to react. I felt great out there, and I felt, you know, in many ways, I felt like almost better than when I quit. You know, I've been training the whole time. I haven't been training for a fight, but I've been in the gym, so I just feel like my fight IQ has went up even more, and I've let my body, in a way, rest and heal up a little bit. It wasn't the same old grind. People keep asking me about, you know, doing this. I said, man, you got to understand, training for this is infinitely easier than training for an MMA fight, you know. I go in there, I jump rope, I shadow box, I spar a little bit, done. I mean, MMA, that's like the first half an hour of practice. You know what I mean? You got wrestling, jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, you know, everything. And it's such a grind and hurts your body. This was way easier, in my opinion.
With that said, and that was my next question, do you think, and obviously you answered it. So with that said, can you see more fighters, more mixed martial artists, more boxers, you know, kind of, you know, moving over to this and bare knuckle fighting kind of blowing up?
Well, I think they could for a couple reasons. One of them being the fact that, you know, say what you will, this is actually easy on your brain. I mean, obviously it's going to be worse for your, you know, superficial cuts and, you know, scar tissue and whatnot. I don't know if you're going to have really, longevity with these fights. I'm not real sure how many you could do because I think you are going to get cut open a little bit. I don't think the brain damage factor is going to be there. Especially, it's more so even not only the fight, but in training and sparring. When I was training for this fight, I wasn't in there mixing it up and trading punches like I normally do with boxing. You can't. You know, so I'm putting these littler gloves on, more MMA-style gloves, and you have to get in and out, and you can't stand toe-to-toe and trade, which is what I love to do in boxing. So I just think from an actual safety standpoint and actual, you know, brain damage standpoint, this is kind of a logical step. So I would like to see more people who had some boxing matches or MMA, and, you know, if that's something that I'm worried about, this is a logical thing they should go to next, just to try and preserve their mind and body for a little longer.
Over under, let's say 40 of how many people asked you about wrapping your hands in bare knuckle fights?
Oh, they say more or less than 40? Is that what you're guessing?
Yeah. I'm asking you, over or under, has it been more than 40 or less than 40 people that asked you about wrapping your hands in a bare knuckle fight?
Yeah, I'd probably say that's pretty close. I would probably say under, but it could be over. It's been pretty close, but it's probably a good number right around there. A lot of people just very confused about it.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I've had a lot of the fighters on, and they've all said, yeah, they're always asking me about taping this and taping that. It's bare knuckle, which means it's bare knuckle. There is nothing. So
exactly. You know, otherwise it's kind of a false title.
Yeah, it would be bare wrapped knuckles. Right?
It'd be like me saying I'm running a race. I'm going to go run a race and I could get a car or a bike or something. You know? It doesn't make sense.
Well, many have done it, but I know the one lady that did it at the Boston Marathon. She started.
She took a bus or something, skipped about 10 miles.
That's a way to not, worry about your cardio. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Chris, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you for being the first guest on this inaugural new network. I can't wait to see you back in whatever's next, whether it is the squared circle or, you know, with you, who knows? You may take on Phelps in a swimming race next.
Hey, I don't know, man. Give me a wrestle a bear, fight a lion. I don't know, man. Whatever seems like a new thing to do, maybe I'll try it. But by the way, I did like the 8-man strong gear. I had my crew wearing it most of the time, so it was good.
Well, you know, for coming on today's program, you're going to get some more 8-man strong gear.
I love it, man. I support that stuff all the time. I wear it around town.
That's awesome. Chris, thank you very much. I'll holler at you later. Congratulations. Can't wait to see you again.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
Take care. That is Chris Lytle. Good guy.
Awesome. Awesome guy.
Yeah, you know, and he was early stage of MMA and the UFC and all that kind of stuff and retired. And guys just can't do the R word. They're competitors. You know, I expect you to enter the Tour de France at some time, you know, because you miss. You're going to take the bike off the wall and you're going to hustle on the way to Paris.
I will not do that any longer.
Did I ever tell you the story when I was over in Paris?
No.
And the Tour de France was going on?
Okay.
So it was basically towards the end.
Okay.
Okay.
Sure.
Where do they end?
Paris.
No, I know that, but where?
I don't know. The Louvre or whatever.
Well, no, I think it's where that big thing is. It's a big circular thing.
Right.
And,
yeah.
All right. So I
don't know the name of it.
I don't know.
I know what it looks like.
How about this? Sean and I are there. Sean and I walk across whatever that's called to get to whatever that big building's called.
Okay.
We'll Google it during a break if one of us really cares. We walked across.
Okay.
I didn't know there was a tunnel underneath. That's how you get over there. We're dodging cars. We're doing all that kind of stuff. So just kind of funny.
Yeah. No, what do you think about what Chris said, though? I mean, a lot easier to train for a bare knuckle fight. I mean, you know, do you think that's the allure for this sport to grow? Do you think that's the appeal? Is that it isn't as hard as MMA?
I think it's much easier, you know, and I said it on what used to be Knockout Radio, and I've said it on what used to be Talking Sports. And for what Chris said, it is easier because you don't have to train jiu-jitsu and takedowns and wrestling and, you know, all that other kind of stuff. So I think more people will kind of move over to it. And I do expect it to blow up. I really, truly do.
Or we could just start our own league. We could call it the Barely Rap League, like the Barely Knuckle League.
It could be
Barely a Rap Knuckle League.
It could be a radio fighting league.
Okay.
You know, so if you've been on radio at any time, you can enter. Now, we'll still have weight classes and all that kind of stuff. And I'm surprised you didn't say it. So I'm scared that I'm going to say it because it's going to set you to the right, and possibly fired on today's show. But, you know, you could do, you know, a bare naked fighting league as well.
Bare naked fighting league. I like it.
Because you would like that as
but
well as.
Not with a bunch of radio guys. I'm not entering that one.
Why?
I mean,
it's your peers. It's your peeps.
I mean, I'll tell you what. I would do Tito Ortiz's zombie stripper, bare naked league from the movie he appeared in.
Oh, I couldn't tell you.
Well, we'll ask him about his acting career when he comes on at the second hour.
Yeah, probably not. All right, coming to you live from Toward the Pizza, hanging out here as we do each and every Wednesday afternoon now. Stop on by, free pizza to give away. We have a ton of stuff to talk about. When we return, fights this weekend in Dallas, Aljamain Sterling. Can't wait for that. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Song.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? Staff Zone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust, to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Since our first store opened in 1969 to our latest acquisition, Mr. Car Wash has always centered on people and bringing them the best service and shine in the car wash industry.
Through continuous research and development, Mr. Car Wash champions the newest technology and services to make your car wash experience better for your vehicle and the environment.
With locations from sea to shining sea, go to MrCarWash.com for more details.
It's time to get back in the holiday spirit, and we are very excited to once again be involved with the Ryan Neese Foundation and the 10th annual Power of Giving Holiday Party presented by the DiBartolo Family Foundation on December 6th at T. Pepin's Hospitality Center. You will enjoy delicious food, open bar, games, celebrity guests, and great entertainment while helping to empower teens to become leaders and impact giving in their communities. To purchase your tickets or to get more information on the Ryan Neese Foundation, please go to www.ryanneesefoundation.com. Experience the power of giving and get your tickets today at www.ryanneesefoundation.com.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Ferg Sports Bar and Grill.
Clean Energy Massage and Wellness is dedicated to providing you with the highest quality of care and proud to be the official massage and wellness facility of the 2018 Player Show. A clinical deep tissue massage from Clean Energy Massage and Wellness can provide the relief from pain and stress. We tailor each session to you and your needs to provide you the best care possible. Conveniently located at 4255 Henderson Boulevard in Tampa, sports massage, deep tissue, acupuncture, medical massage, and much more. Improve your health today. Call 813-769-9280 or go to cleanenergywellness.com and go Bucks!
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you're bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Bob the Beast Sapp, and you're listening to Talking Sports with Randy Harris. I'm going to knock him out.
Why are you laughing? Why was that so funny? That's what Bob Sapp said.
Yeah. Another crossover, another NFL guy crossing over to MMA.
Yeah, but no disrespect.
Okay.
Okay. But is it fair to say that? Is it fair to say for Bob Sapp, for Matt Mitrione, you know, for Brock Lesnar? Brock, those guys didn't really play. Brandon Schaub, did they really play in the NFL?
Yeah, of course.
They all played in. I don't know much about what Bob did.
I don't know.
Brock went out for the Vikings. I think Dungy was even involved then at the time. Matt Mitrione, I don't think, played. I mean, again, don't you have to play 2 years, 3 years to be called an NFL player?
Aren't these guys on the roster?
Two games?
If they make it, aren't they? I mean, even if they're not on the starting lineup, aren't they still NFL players?
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
You got 53 of them over at $1.
That's
that are
true.
All professional athletes.
So they made the 53 man roster, and if they get released tonight, they're still former NFL players. I guess they get paid.
Yeah, and that makes them a professional. So I'm still an amateur radio broadcaster.
That's pretty much true. Well, that's the object. You know, I don't want. Believe me, if you were to make money doing this, you already walk around, you know, with the biggest head in the world.
Oh yeah.
You know, between the red mohawk, the no clothes, all that stuff that you do.
Don't forget the body ink. The cool badges of honor I have.
Whatever. Let me ask you an ink question.
Oh, yes.
Okay, I'm looking at...
The Roman Colosseum.
Whatever that is.
The Roman Colosseum.
It doesn't look...
Where gladiators live and die.
I understand that. But the top part of your arm just looks like a big glob of ink.
Yes.
It doesn't look like anything.
Well, it's because my sleeve is covering it. But now you can see the whole picture.
Well, now you can see a little bit more, but there's still a lot of it that just looks like it's...
Well, this is the shield.
Well, but it... Yeah.
This is a piece of art.
If you say so.
And this is where gladiators live and die. And it's no different than modern-day sports and what we talk about daily or weekly.
All right, if you were a real gladiator...
Yes, sir.
Now, be careful. This is FCC, so you definitely want to be careful. And you were in the movie The Gladiator.
Okay.
I'll get back to it. All right. We're headed to Dallas right now.
We are going to Dallas on American Airlines.
It's the only way you're going to Dallas is via the phone. Let's welcome to the program. He fights this weekend, Saturday night in Dallas, Aljamain Sterling. Aljamain, how are you?
Good. How's it going, guys? Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Let's just talk about for a second before we talk about the fight. You know, what do you do the week of? Do you try not to talk about the fight? Do you try to get it out of your head? Or are you one of the guys that you want it in your head? You want to think about it. You want to focus on what's going to happen on Saturday?
You know, that's a good question. I really don't even know. I'm kind of a little bit of both, I guess. I mean, I have enough time while I sleep that I apparently I'm fighting my opponent like 100 times in my dreams, and I'm like waking up my roommates while I'm sleeping in the hotel rooms. I think I do enough thinking about the fight just at night while I'm sleeping alone.
So it's good not to talk about it. I'm curious, does Matt Serra still scream, "Don't forget the foot stomp"?
Yeah, he still screams it. You know, it's a vital part of the arsenal. You know, in that cage and in that clinch, you got to make those guys get a little happy feet dance and move those feet and get off the cage.
And he was definitely the expert back in the day on screaming that. And, you know, when you are training, you know, with Matt and with Ray, and Matt is such a great guy, such a lovable guy, but you're there doing business. You're there trying to train. And I've asked people this about John Gruden as well. Do you, as he's like yelling and screaming, trying to be serious, do you kind of chuckle because he's also, you know, a funny guy having a good time?
Nah, you know, we kind of know when it's work time and it's time to play. We kind of have that good balance, and I think that's the great thing and the dynamic about our team and as a whole. You know, we break each other's balls, we have fun, we laugh. Even in the midst of training, you know, if something's going wrong, you know, we try to make light of the situation over like being super serious all the time. You know, when you're out there in a fight, that's when it's time to, you know, everything's it's game time. It's time to lock in and get going. But outside of that, man, we try to keep it light. We have fun, and it's always a good atmosphere to be a part of.
Does that make it better when you know, you're away from home and you're on the road? And as I've talked to the fighters, you know, for years and years, it's a business trip, and I know that's what you guys, you know, consider it. But you also have to have a good time and enjoy, you know, going to a new city, going to a new country. How difficult is it to walk that fine line, business and still have fun and enjoy your life?
Oh, it's super tough, especially for me. I can speak for myself, knowing that just the weight cut alone, having to manage that, the time that I have for media obligations and the time that I have to actually work out, to do a whole lot of sightseeing, sometimes it gets really, really rough. Unless I come out here earlier or I stay after a few days when, you know, all the weight's off my shoulders, that's the only time when I can really enjoy a new city, a new place, and venture out and see what the town has to offer. You know, I hear a lot of great things about Dallas, so I'm actually staying here till Tuesday morning, so I'm going to get to explore the town a little bit. Like, I haven't done much walking around or any type of sightseeing, but I'm hoping, you know, if it goes well, I'm not too banged up, and I can enjoy the fruits of my labor and get to explore the city a little bit.
How many times, and I'm curious because I've done this, I'm like, once the fights are over on Saturday, I'm going to stay for a couple days, and then as it gets closer to the fights, I'm like, I'm going to change the flight to the red eye and get right home.
That happens a lot. I just saw the weather. It's supposed to rain from tomorrow all the way to Tuesday, and that's when I'm staying. So now I'm like, oh, man, this kind of sucks. Is there really going to be any fun for me out here? I could be back home, and it won't be that bad with the weather. So I don't know. I came all the way out here to get stuck in the rain. It would be kind of crappy. But I do get that feeling a lot. Sometimes you just want to go back home and just lay in your bed, especially after a tough fight. You know, the last one, I was on crutches afterwards because I was throwing so many kicks. And one of the times, I think I kicked his elbow or his knee, and my foot blew up pretty good. So I didn't really get to enjoy Atlantic City as much as I would like to. So I just went home the very next day.
Quick question about your opponent. I don't follow a whole lot of people on the internet, and you know, I don't worry about things that are going on and what's said, but I understand that there's some dislike between the two of you. Where did that start, and will it end after Saturday night's fight?
I think it always ends after the fight and it gets settled, the beef. But I mean, I think there's probably more beef on his end than there is mine. I guess he felt disrespected, like I tried to big brother him because I kind of brushed him off. And I brushed him off. I'm like, dude, I just fought a top contender who was 3-0, upcoming prospect. He was undefeated. He actually had a finish. He didn't have any split decision wins. I thought that was a tougher fight than, you know, what he brings to the table, two split decision wins and one fight that was, like, okay. So I was kind of looking at it like, I don't think it makes sense for me to go backwards once again. But apparently the UFC had other plans for me, and I guess he talked himself into a bigger fight. And I guess we have one common opponent that I lost to split decision, which a lot of people think that fight was a draw at worst. And for him, a lot of people thought he actually lost the fight, and he got them out on the split decision. So it's an interesting matchup. I want to see if he can fight as well as he talks. Because, man, I tell you, he's been saying a lot of stuff, saying that I'm the one talking shit, but it's him. It's the other way around, you know. But I'll happily oblige and smack the taste out of his mouth a couple of times.
Is that what the sport that we all love so much, is that what it's becoming? That, you know, if you can talk the game, it's going to give you the opportunity to get bigger name opponents and bigger fights?
Oh, yeah, 100%. But, you know, good thing I'm a smart person. You know, I keep it in perspective. It is what it is. At the end of the day, it's a fist fight. So we're going to fight no matter what, whether there's animosity there or not. You know, so I was coming out there to put a beating on him and put him away before. And I think him just talking just makes it that much worse when I do get him down. It's going to be more of a moral victory that I get to pin him down and really big brother him and smack him around a little bit.
And I have a big brother, so I know exactly, you know, what that means. Let me ask you this, because Marcus Jones, who went through the Ultimate Fighter, was a first-round draft pick of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We were very good friends, and he once told me that he didn't really like football. He was just good at it. So I tend to ask a lot of athletes, do you like mixed martial arts? Are you just good at it, or both?
Actually, both. You know, I remember my first amateur fight. You know, I was super nervous. I didn't have any real training besides wrestling in college, collegiately, and in high school. And I was coming off of being an All-American, and I had the first fight. Man, I was about ready to crap myself. You know, even the guy was kind of small. He wasn't very muscular, but just super nervous, man. I got out there. I got the second round rear naked choke. I split him open with the first punch I threw in, like, the first 30 seconds of the first round. And I was, like, kind of taken back. I was like, whoa, that was insane. But that was cool, but it was insane. I never done anything like that. And ever since then, man, I've been hooked, you know. I was good at it. I knew I was good at it. I knew I had a good fight IQ. And I guess I do enjoy fighting. I do like competing, man. There's something to be said about one-on-one combat sports where it's not a team sport. You know, we're playing for keeps. We're not playing with a basketball or kicking a football around or, you know, this is one man going in there to challenge the other, one man, one woman, and seeing who's the better athlete that night. And I think that's the ultimate contest. And I love that, man. It's such a crazy adrenaline rush. I don't think there's anything else like it.
I can't wait till Saturday night. Aljamain, thank you very much for your time. For coming on the show, we're going to send you out some 8-Man Strong swag. So I'm going to hit you up on Twitter just to get your address so I can get you, and I'll send Matt and Ray and the whole team some 8-Man Strong.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Appreciate your time. Take care. That is Aljamain Sterling this Saturday night in Dallas. Takes on Cody Stammen, who will be on in about 20 minutes or so. And good guy. You know, I've met him before, quiet at times, you know, and then you flip the switch and then it's fight time.
Well, I mean, your question about, you know, can guys talk themselves into a bigger fight than what they deserve? No better than the headliner of this fight.
Oh, yeah, and I saw you put it down and I totally forgot to ask him.
Darren Till,
yeah,
who is undefeated, but essentially talked his way into a fight after winning in Poland against Donald Cerrone. And
after missing weight.
Hyped himself up to where he is now.
Well, and it's not just Till, and it's not just Conor McGregor,
right,
and it's not just, I can't think of his name, the guy on ESPN, Chael Sonnen.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they've all been doing it.
Right.
You know, you talk yourself, and why wouldn't they want to sign that fight? Because it's going to promote better and it's going to sell better.
Well, we just heard that from Aljamain that just because he felt that he was going backwards, the UFC had different agenda,
sure,
or had a different value on where he was at. So it doesn't look like the UFC just automatically given a big mouth an opportunity if they don't want it to happen.
No, of course. You know, that's the whole thing about being the promotion, is it's what's best for the promotion. You know, everybody screams about these awful fake rankings.
Right.
Which are awful.
Right.
Which are fake.
Because they're independently dictated by one promotion, one private company.
Well, it's not so much the company is, but they hand select who is doing the rankings.
Sure.
You know, I used to be involved in it. And then I think I've told you, they took me off the ranking list because they wanted just straight MMA journalists.
Sure.
Yet they have people that, A, are not journalists. You know, they're fans that have websites or whatever. There was a guy in Brazil, as well as I remember there was a guy in Canada. Now, who do you think the Canadian had the number one pound-for-pound fighter?
GSP.
Who do you think the Brazilian had the number one pound-for-pound fighter?
Anderson Silva.
Exactly. And at the time, I hate to tell you, it was John Jones.
Okay. Right,
just saying.
Right. Right. Right.
See, John Jones has been making some stuff on the Twitter machine.
Talking it up.
He wants not one but two fights with Daniel Cormier.
Okay.
What? He wants to beat him at light heavy. again, get in his head. I saw the video. He wants to fight him again, beat him again, like he probably would.
Right.
Get in his head, then go up and beat him at heavyweight.
I thought maybe he'd like come in, beat him to death, let him resurrect himself, and then beat him again.
Could do that too. And now Cormier is responding, which I don't think he should.
Yeah, he has nothing to say.
You got
to
let it go.
He's a double champ. Let it go.
He's a double champ that lost to John Jones twice. I'm just saying. And it's so unfortunate that Daniel Cormier could go down as the greatest MMA fighter of all time.
That's possible.
Just because of his statistics.
Sure.
You know, he's not the most exciting. You know, there's been some boring stuff.
Yeah.
We were in the Buccaneer locker room earlier today talking about Cormier beating Stipe. Some people called it a lucky punch. It doesn't matter. Lucky punch, not lucky punch. He won.
He won.
But a lot of people, even if you consider him the best pound-for-pound fighter of all time, even if you just consider him the best pound-for-pound fighter right now, what's the first thing you think of? The fact that he lost to John Jones twice. And that will always, always be on his mind, on the fans' minds, on the record book. You know, everybody likes to say the asterisk, you know, whether it's the home runs in MLB or, you know, the medals in the Olympics or, you know, whatever, the asterisk. People want to put the asterisk next to Cormier.
Yeah.
Which is unfair.
It's definitely unfair. But that's it.
But,
and you know what? Cormier, as hot as he is now, and everybody knows he's the double champ, he'll be forgotten quickly. I mean, where McGregor will last for generations, people will know the name. They will know the
Why guy. Is that? Because he fought Mayweather?
Just because he doesn't have enough star power. Because Cormier doesn't do anything flashy. Doesn't do anything.
Doesn't throw a dolly?
Doesn't throw a dolly. Doesn't throw a tantrum. Doesn't do anything outrageous. Doesn't throw monsters from across the room at press conferences.
Right. Well, was that Connor or was that Diaz? No,
it was Connor.
Connor threw it at Diaz as he was walking out. Uh-huh. I need to tell you something really funny.
Okay.
So I picked up mail yesterday.
Okay.
Okay. I picked up my son's mail, to be honest. So it was his. But I own the property, so I'm allowed to go into my mailbox and get to whatever.
That's property.
There was a check in there for my son.
Okay.
Okay. Before I tell you how much the check was for,
okay,
do you know how much stamps are today?
Stamps are probably 57 cents.
I believe they're 50 cents.
Are they 50?
I believe they're 50 cents. So the stamp to mail this check to my son was 50 cents.
Okay.
How much do you think the check was?
7 cents.
Four.
Four.
It was a 4 cent check.
Just a legal technicality.
What?
You got to issue it.
Oh, my God.
Otherwise, it's a debt owed to the company. It's
send
a formality.
Send it to the state, and then you'll get those letters from the attorney. As soon as something goes to the state and that property, whatever, you get a stack of letters from attorneys. Oh, hey, let us help you get it.
Yeah, of course.
It will only take 25%. And I want to say, hey, knucklehead, if this was the other show, I would say it differently. Hey, knucklehead, I know how to fill out paperwork and sign my name.
Well, you should just give them a penny. You're like, here, you want 25%?
Fill four out cents. Paperwork. Yeah. Well, yeah, for the 4 cents. No, this is just a tad different. Do you watch wrestling at all?
I am a fan of wrestlers. I hang out with wrestlers. I don't watch wrestling.
Just because you walk into a wrestling room one time, you're now a wrestler? Just asking for a friend.
I mean, Look, I just associate with them, but I don't watch. I'm not a fan.
There's a country song now called Asking for a Friend.
Well, it's
awesome. It is awesome. So I'm watching. I don't know if it was last night or the night before, to be honest with you now. It might have been Monday night.
Okay.
Whatever it is. And Shawn Michaels comes out.
Okay.
Iconic. Some say he is on the Mount Rushmore. But see, that's why when we originally started the program talking about Mount Rushmore.
We did.
When you have arguably 20, easy, 20
iconic figures
iconic that could be on your Mount Rushmore.
Different generations.
Yeah, I mean,
different stars are hotter than they were back then. I mean, this Roman Reigns guy, Daniel Reigns, what's his name?
Which one? Roman Reigns.
Okay, Roman. So he's a big star now, right? But, you know, but how does he measure up against like a Hulk Hogan or Andre the Giant?
He doesn't because fans don't really like him.
Okay.
And the reason fans don't like him is he's The Rock's cousin.
Okay.
And so the WWE, a lot of fans believe, they crammed Roman Reigns down your throats. See, the whole thing is how the fans handle it. Do they put it over on the fans? Do the fans buy T-shirts? Do the fans jump on? And Roman Reigns, who some people like,
okay,
you know, and they had...
Who's the biggest star right now? Is it Cena?
You know, I don't know if I would consider him that. I know that nobody has granted more wishes for Make-A-Wish than John Cena.
Okay.
John Cena is
off outside the ring, you know, he's legit. He's legit.
But what was the question? Who's the best?
Who's the biggest star?
The biggest
right
star. In the wrestling. Biggest star, or who's the best?
Different
answers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess who's the biggest star?
The biggest star right now possibly could be Ronda.
Ronda Rousey.
You know, to be honest,
she don't care about her reputation.
You know, one of my, if not my favorite walkout. You know, we've done on Knockout Radio on Friday, this is now Knockout Radio, blah, 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 blah. Best walkout.
Yep.
When Ronda Rousey, and I almost called her Ronda Reigns, when Ronda Rousey comes out to, I don't give a damn about my bad reputation, and she doesn't. You know, that's not a gimmick. That right. is her.
Sure.
And so it is. But I would probably have to say her right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's some really good performers. There's some really good names. There's some really great entertainers. But the crossover from Ronda coming over from the UFC, because, you know, she trained UFC.
Right.
You know, that's another one of our big.
That's a little quirky thing. But
somebody put that up, and Elias Theodoro, who won the Ultimate Fighter from Canada, he's our Canadian correspondent, one of our two Canadian correspondents, he kind of responded, and I responded to him saying, you better be careful, because anybody who trains UFC is a bad, bad man, you know, because you can't train UFC.
Right.
It's like you can't train NFL.
Right. It's like Xerox. You know, it's a copy. But.
Right.
It's a specific brand.
Right. Well, it's like soda and everybody.
Pop.
Right.
Coke.
Yeah, right. Well, not Give pop. Pop would be okay.
Pop, yeah.
Yeah. Pop, soda, all that. It's when, you know, you call a soda a Coke and they give you a Pepsi.
So are we going to talk about the 800-pound grill in the room? We're going to dive into it. Come on, we got to get into it.
Do we?
It's got to.
Go ahead, go.
I mean, so obviously the Nike Just Do It campaign, the movement, the Colin Kaepernick, you know, what's your stance? I mean, how do you feel about?
I get it. What's your stance on a guy who kneels? Pretty funny. You probably didn't do that on purpose, but
I have a lot of things written down.
Well, first and foremost, to the best of my knowledge,
Okay,
you know, I don't want to say for sure because somebody, it'll kind of be like the when he was Bruce Jenner and he was endorsing Wheaties.
Right.
And somebody sued him. You know the story, right?
No.
He was endorsing Wheaties. He was on the cover of Wheaties after
the greatest man alive, the decathlon.
Exactly.
Gold medalist, the fittest man on the planet.
So somebody, I guess, sued and said, you've never ate Wheaties before. What? And they were able to produce a photo of him eating Wheaties as a kid.
Okay.
So I don't want to say for sure.
Sure.
But I believe I have only purchased one item. Two items.
Okay,
three items. Okay. I'm thinking as I'm going.
You've purchased a few items.
I've only purchased a few items because of the person was endorsing it.
Okay.
Bo Jackson was the first person I ever purchased something for. Okay. I bought the shoes because Bo knows. Because let's be honest, Bo doesn't know.
Bo knows everything.
Bo knows everything.
Bo knows it all.
And I bought an Anderson Silva shirt, and I bought a Charles Mask Lewis memorial shirt after he passed away.
And you also bought who the fook is this guy?
Fook.
The Jeremy Stevens
right.
Shirt when Conor McGregor
I did.
Infamously.
I did, but I've never worn the shirt.
Right, that's a collectible. But you bought it. You paid for it.
And that's for the regular sports. It was a press conference, and Jeremy Stevens was kind of getting on, and that's when Conor turned and said, you know, and it was a combination of, I don't think he meant to say the F word, because he didn't.
Right.
But because of his broken, barely English with an accent, you know, from Ireland, it was folk, right. F-O-O-K. And everybody just blew it up with T-shirts and stuff.
Sure.
And I did buy that. So taking away the MMA stuff that I have purchased because of friendships and whatever, I believe the only thing I've ever purchased because of the athlete or the person endorsing it was Bo Jackson. Yeah. Now, I guess you could say, well, have you ever bought a CD or in my case, an 8-track,
right?
You know, or a cassette or whatever. And I'm not going by that because even though you could come back and say, well, you bought an Eagles CD because of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
I think it's ridiculous for a few things. I appreciate you pulling me into this so that it's going to get ugly, but what did he give up? He's been getting paid by Nike.
Right.
You know, he wasn't playing. You know, yeah, he lost contract, but he's still getting paid.
He gave up practice. He gave up mandatory meetings.
He gave up the free lunch that you get over at the complex.
He gave up having to travel the country against his will, like, for a schedule.
And let me be honest. If you purchased Nike products and you go to the streets and burn them, you think Nike cares?
Not at all.
You've already paid for it.
Not at all.
Now, a good friend of mine, Titus O'Neil, the WWE superstar, has gone out on the Twitter net, and he has said, listen, if you're going to burn Nike products, send them to this address, and we'll get it to Metropolitan Ministries. We'll get it to some homeless in Tampa. You okay with that? I'm all right with that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think, here's a question I have. Okay, so the NFL is a company, right? It's a league, and you have individual owners that own each franchise, right? So they make these policies that players must stand if they're on the field during the national anthem.
Well, obviously they didn't.
Well, right. But the point is, like, but how does it compare to the UFC or a mixed martial art event? Because when we were in Brooklyn, they did the national anthem, but the fighters are in the back. They're preparing. They're warming up.
Right.
So you don't. They don't have to make a public denouncing of an event. Like, why is the NFL the target? Why is this such a big deal?
Because the military. Sport? Because the military, they were paying the NFL to do that. They were trying to get patriotism back. They were trying to. So the military got involved and started dumping money into the NFL to do that. And that's why a lot of people are saying, if you want to fix it, which it doesn't fix this, but if you want to fix it, leave the athletes in the back. Now, you know why it doesn't fix it? Because I came very close to saying something. Well, I did say some things. That there is a local media person who's sitting in the press box at Tampa Stadium.
Not kneeling. Not protesting, just sitting.
Just sitting.
Okay.
So I went to take a picture of him because I was going to post it on the Book of Face, and he hid his face. So it's bad enough what you're doing. What's worse is that it's bad enough of what you're doing, and you're embarrassed that you're doing what you're doing.
Now, are you buying into the notion of this is the modern-day Muhammad Ali? Like, is Colin Kaepernick becoming he refused to go to the military, to go to Vietnam. He lost his license to fight. He jeopardized his career. Are we watching history in the making as this unfolds?
No, in my opinion, it's two entirely different things. Muhammad Ali went to prison. Kaepernick's not going to prison. One, he broke the law. Muhammad Ali broke the law. And, you know, when Muhammad Ali passed away and everybody, you know, was praising Muhammad Ali, some people came back and said, you know, let's be honest. Let's don't forget. He was a draft dodger. You know, he went to prison. So it's two entirely different things. And again, Muhammad Ali gave up a career that he eventually got back. Kaepernick gave up, but he turned down. You do realize that, right?
He turned down.
He turned down jobs. Right. He turned down offers because you can't be a martyr if you're in the NFL.
Sure. Of course.
So it's...
Well, the one thing going back to Muhammad Ali, it's funny how it all comes full circle because... In 1976, he went to Japan to fight in a mixed rules match against a wrestler, Antonio Inoki. You aware of that?
Sure.
He competed in a mixed rule boxing / MMA style fight back in 1976, which is pretty interesting.
Oh, I don't know if it's interesting.
But... Well, I think it's cool. I mean, the dates back that far, mixed rules, different combat sport.
I'll try not to talk too much about it. I believe... And my mom and I have gotten into it. You know, I was in the military. My dad was in the military. My uncles were in the military. My grandfather, my father-in-law. I've kind of changed a little bit.
Okay.
I was dead against it.
Uh-huh.
I'm still dead against it, but you have a right to do it. You're not doing anything illegal.
Right.
Okay. So I can't stand that you're doing it. The problem is it has gotten so far away from what Colin Kaepernick was trying to get out. His message has been lost.
Right.
Nobody knows about his message. Nobody cares about the message right now, which is unfortunate because people that are passionate about it, me included, I'm not even thinking about the message. I'm just thinking that you're an idiot. And if you do it, in my opinion, you're an idiot.
And if you're anywhere on social media, you obviously have seen the Facebook meme of do you like the terminology that they use, sacrificing everything? I mean, Pat Tillman.
He sacrificed everything.
From the Arizona Cardinals.
Did you see his wife or... widow, or I don't know if she's been remarried or whatever. She's come out, I guess. And again, you never know what's real. Right. You know, did somebody? Right. But she said, "Don't use my husband in politics." Wow. You know, don't bring him in. Don't any of that. And only because I said this on my Friday show, and only because I've said this on Knockout Radio for years. Well, not for years, but you know, for a long time. Explain to me, if anybody can explain this to me, you know, email me. I'm willing to have a conversation about anything,
right.
You know, as long as it can be civil and, you know, you don't lose your temper and I don't lose mine.
Sure.
What is the difference between someone kneeling during the national anthem that is disrespectful to some?
Right. Correct.
The person doing it obviously doesn't think it's disrespectful,
right.
But it's disrespectful to some. And what your buddy, Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan did, where he used a word that is disrespectful to some. They both are disrespectful.
And they're both protected under free speech. I mean, and being part of the Constitution and the freedom of living under a blanket of freedom.
I mean, yeah.
So, I don't know. I mean, I think this whole thing was meant to unite, but I feel like it's dividing.
Okay, well, you know what is dividing?
It
is divided. You know, one half down, one half to go. We have hit the halftime, which means I got to get my ice cream and what's the bananas with?
Banana Foster's?
Yeah, Banana Foster. It's Banana Foster time here at Toward the Pizza. When we come back, more stacked athletes. Cody Stammen coming up. Maurice Green coming up. Tito Ortiz coming up, as well as Eric Van Wagenen. Tons still to get to. This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by Ape Man Strong and Staff Stuff.
Radio Network.
Ape Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are Ape Man Strong.
Ride in luxury. Go to Tampa Limo and Car LLC.com today. Going to the prom, the airport, or that special night on the town? Call Tampa Limo and Car at 813-415-4576 and ride in luxury. Tampa Limo and Car has a fleet of sedans,
WTAN, SUVs, Clearwater,
FM 106.1,
WDC.